Welcome to the Families at Grace podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage parents as they apply the gospel in their homes.
Welcome to the Families at Grace podcast. This is Jason Miller.
I'm here Josh with Josh Hussung
and Savannah Seibold.
And we are really excited to talk to you today about social media. So that's a newfound thing. So I was trying to, I was going to say, what was the first social media platform that you guys were a part of? Savannah?
Okay, I'll start. The first social media platform that I was really on was Facebook. Mm-hmm. I had some friends on other things. I can't even remember. There was some instant messenger thing that a lot of my friends did that I wasn't allowed to have. And then MySpace was out and about.
I like how she talks about instant messenger like it's this ancient thing of the past. Yeah. It's like an Edison phone. Edison. Made the phone. Alexander Graham Bell.
Graham Bell,
like the Graham Bell phone.
Like when the phonograph, back when the phonograph was a big deal.
It was on this thing called America Online.
My first one was MySpace. Mm-hmm. I had a MySpace account, and it was super cool. And then I got a Facebook as soon as it was available. I got it when we had to be a college student.
Yeah. I mean, I think Facebook was the first one. That's probably because I'm too old to have been a college student when MySpace was a deal. I remember Sally and I were still dating and we were so excited that we could start using email and stop making so many long distance phone calls because you had to pay for it. And, anytime somebody did get on the internet while you were using the phone, you got that blaring noise and it was ridiculous. So,
yes. So if anybody had any guess about the generational gap between us here, Savannah will be answering all the hip trendy questions.
That's right. Yep.
Don't put that on me.
I'll be playing the role of the old middle-aged parent.
Actually, Savannah might be the least involved social media engager that we have in the room, even though she's the youngest of us.
Yeah, I spend time on there, but I don't post. Partially because it gives me anxiety.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm worried about what people will think about
catapulting us into the subject.
Great segue into what we're going to talk about. So I think we're aware of a lot of the negative things. So let's start with some of the positives. Are there any positives in social media for our kids?
The thing that we have right now is Laura and I will look on Facebook or something. The first thing that pops up is memories. Mm-hmm. So it's always nice to see cute pictures of your kids from like 10. You're like, they were 3 years old and now look at them. So that's fun. I like that.
And I think the connection component, it keeps you connected with people from your past and even currently. A lot of the times I feel like even in staff meetings, like, we'll bring up things to pray for people that we haven't even talked to them about yet. We've seen on various social media accounts. And it's definitely the same for me personally. Like, I'm reminded to pray for people about different things that they have going on, and just also to stay connected and to keep track of what's going on in the lives of people that I don't see on a daily basis or a weekly basis.
So there are some good things. There are some good, some positives to this kind of digital connectivity that we have through social media. We can gain information. You can find out about things happening all around the world very quickly these days. Mm-hmm. What about the bad? What are some of the dangers that our parents need to be aware of as they're thinking about their high school, middle school, elementary age kids who are now begging them for a smartphone or to have an Instagram account or things like that, just so they can keep up with their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things that can be terrifying if we let it be, but also a lot of the time we don't even think about, is the predators, the people who are preying on social media accounts. And so just being mindful of that and making sure that the people that we're adding are people that we know or people that we're aware of or that that our kids know personally, I think is important.
Yeah. I would say, that example is maybe it's certainly a real one, and it's much more common than we would like it to be, but it's less common. But I think that the real everybody's going to deal with this. One is just kind of the self-indulgence kind of side. It's both an entertainment thing you consume and it's a thing that you put out there that is predominantly about you. And so that can kind of lead us to just be self-indulgent. It can lead us to think too much about ourselves than maybe Christ would have us.
And to do things or post things on our account, not necessarily that represent us as much as the things that will get the most likes or the things that will get the biggest following. I think that it can cause students especially to do things that or post things that they might not say in a conversation face to face or that they might not do in a conversation. It kind of gives you this extra identity that you can really indulge in. And then I think for girls especially, I think guys deal with this as well, but there's the fear of missing out. Back when I was in school, in middle school at least, because I think it was high school really when I got social media, but if your friend had a birthday party, you might not even know about it if you weren't invited. Whereas not only do you find out today, but you find out in the moment that it's happening while you're sitting at home alone. So you know what all of your friends are doing, and people only post the best, most exciting things that they're doing. It can really lead to that fear of missing out. And then it can also create self-esteem issues, which we know is a struggle for, has always been a struggle for students, but you get people use filters to create the perfect pictures that they want. And then also those things that people are doing, it can cause you to feel like left out in the moment. Yeah. So I think that there's just a lot that we should be aware of when it comes to self-esteem and anxiety that students can face when they're trying to compare themselves to people on social media.
Another one, you know, that I would say, and we've saved sort of like the addictive nature to it, but a part that plays into that that I see a lot in youth ministry is pornography. Because you know, I don't know how aware a lot of our parents are, but like, you know, 9 times out of 10 these days, if I talk to a young man who is dealing with temptation with pornography, it is almost always linked to Instagram and Twitter.
Right.
It's not so much, and it's on their phone. So, you know, and then the problem with these things, many of you maybe have watched The Social Dilemma. If you haven't, you should go watch it because it helps you kind of understand the big money stuff behind it and the addictive nature. But like, you know, they're not so, it's not like social media is out there like, I want to get guys addicted to pornography, but it is, I want eyes looking at this screen on this platform because it makes money off of it. And so if it figures out that a guy likes to spend more time looking at pictures of women that aren't wearing very many clothes or any, then it's just going to keep putting more of that in front of them to keep hooking them in. And so it's more than just like, you know, what we think of in classic thinking about temptation, where it's just kind of you and your thoughts, or there's something over there that's tempting you. It's like this thing is proactively tempting you. Not because it has a desire to tempt you in this particular way, but it's like, that's the thing that's going to get your eyes on it. And so that's a big problem.
And I think it's very polarizing as well because, I mean, even for me, like a lot of the times the things that draw my attention are either things that I agree with or things that I totally disagree with. And so you see the extremes on either side. And it can create really these false realities that you live in of either thinking like everybody agrees with me, nobody disagrees. And then when you're presented with the opinion of somebody that differs, you don't really know how to handle that. Or on the other side, it can be isolating, thinking nobody agrees with me. I'm totally alone.
There, another aspect of online interaction, social media interaction is bullying. You know, it can happen. People get very brave behind a keyboard or, you know, behind their phone where they say things that they wouldn't say in person or face to face with someone else. So I think that is also a reality for our kids is they may be being bullied or they might be the bully in social media if we're not shepherding them well with how to use it. So how do we think about how to help our kids use social media well? How do we think Christianly, biblically about these issues and shepherd them during this time?
Well, I think in a lot of things, like this really applies to anything with our kids, I suppose. But if you think of parenting as sort of a gradual letting go, your goal as a parent is you start out with this incredibly dependent child who needs literally everything from you. And the goal is by the end, by the time they're off to college or around that time, they are now a self-sufficient adult. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they might go to you for wisdom, but they're making their own decisions. They're making good choices. Hopefully they're walking with the Lord. And I think we should think of social media as the same kind of thing. And so that means we shouldn't be unthoughtful in the way that we allow our kids to do it. So the first thing I would say probably is that you should, well, start late. All the fears that we've talked about, all the problems with social media are even more a problem, mm-hmm. I think, for middle school students. I would really caution parents mm-hmm. from giving your kids any kind of broad social media like Instagram, like Twitter, like Facebook mm-hmm. in middle school. I think middle schoolers have problems with impulse control. Mm-hmm. They have trouble with making choices. Their identity is being formed mm-hmm. in their own mind, and all kinds of things go along that just are not helpful to that age group. Mm-hmm. So I would say minimum high school student.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, I think there are a lot of things that we can do. I would say that doesn't mean just like, here's an iPhone, now do all that you like, and we're just off of it. I think that it needs to be kind of a step off kind of approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So specifically, parents can early on just say, you can have this, but I'm going to follow you on your account. I need to have access to it if I ask. And I don't think that means that you need to be jumping on their Facebook and their Instagram, following up every day, but
and commenting after everything that they post. Yeah, don't do that.
Everything, right? But just checking in, like, and checking in, seeing what they're posting, but then also having follow up conversations about what's going on and how their friends are engaging with social media. I think biblically, two things that I'm very aware of when it comes to social media is the mindlessness of it, that you can easily pick up your phone with good intentions. Maybe you have to send a text or call somebody and just automatically flip to a social media app. Mm-hmm. And then you've wasted 15 minutes and you're like, why did I get on my phone to begin with?
Right.
And so it can be distracting. So I think Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says to be careful how you walk in this world. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a certain intentionality that we should have when it comes to social media.
Yeah.
Things like timers, you can do the like social media timers that help help cap the time that you're spending on any app. So that can be helpful when we're thinking about intentionality, just to keep track of the time. And then I'm reminded of John 10:10 that says, where Jesus is saying that he has come that you may have life and have it abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so just asking this question of, you know, what is giving us that abundant life? It's Christ. It's not social media. And three things that I think are questions we can ask ourselves is, how is this shaping my desires?
Mm-hmm.
How is this forming my identity or my child's identity? And in this case, I'm constantly asking myself these questions as well. So, so there's some generational overlap, and then also, how much time am I spending on this? And I think those passages help guide us a little as we think about these things, that there's just some intentionality to be had with it. I also think that as we're proceeding with caution, we should be aware of the influencers that our kids are paying attention to.
Yeah.
Some of those even being Christian influencers. I think that's a big trend today. And just being aware of the messages that those people are putting out as well. And then also influencers in other ways, because those are the people who are trying to create a following and who our children are probably seeking to emulate in a lot of ways.
And Instagram doesn't have like spirit-filled discernment, right? So like Instagram is going to pick up that you're a Christian and is going to put some stuff out there. But that doesn't mean, just because a person has like Christ follower in their bio, doesn't mean that the messages that they're sending your kid are the right kinds of things. And I mean, like, you know, I don't want to bash all types of Christian influence, but like, the self-indulgent nature of what it means to be an influencer can be a really negative thing and can potentially betray some immaturity on the person that's trying to be the influencer. It's just a really difficult, it's a big mess. Celebrity culture, you know, anytime you mix, you know, Christianity with celebrity culture, which is what being an influencer is, it's cashing in on celebrity culture. It I think should breed a little bit of distrust in us about it, or at least some discernment and watchfulness. Totally. I think, you know, one more thing, Savannah, that I threw out there is we want as parents to model what, you know, do what we do as well as do what we say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was reading in Matthew, I think the other day, when Jesus says something like, do what the Pharisees say, but don't do what they do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I would say we want to be the same on both of those. We want to walk the walk too. And I would say for all of us, you know, do we engage in this kind of like two-facedness where we only put pictures up when we're looking real nice and we're on a nice vacation and we're, you know, doing whatever and showing kind of the best of ourselves. The other thing is, do we like throw a bunch of vitriol out there? Because, you know, all that James talks about is the tongue being a fire. Social media is an extension of your tongue.
Right.
The things you say on social media are as good as if they came out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important for us to understand. And I think, like you were saying, Savannah, the mindlessness of it, are we, and I'm saying this to myself too, are we like sitting at home with our kids right next to us and we're scrolling through social media and not really paying attention to what they're saying?
Right.
Because if we're doing that, then we're just modeling to them like what they should be doing when they're on it.
Right. The distractedness
from
parents to kids is true too, not just the other way around. A lot of times, the teenagers get blamed for being phone addicts, and the parents are just as guilty.
Totally.
That's right.
So so we have to be aware of that and understand that it's okay to have a time when there are no devices, where you put the devices away and you look at each other face to face at dinner time or playing a board game or something.
That's right.
One of the drawbacks of screen time is it's keeping you from doing other things.
Yeah.
Right.
That you need, that we need to do together as a family. So it's not just the dangers of the screen, it's the things that we're not doing.
Yeah.
And just broadly too, we were made to desire community,
right,
and that's a good thing.
Yep.
And social media can give us this false sense of community when without us engaging in real community. Mm-hmm. So we should never see it as an alternative for engaging with other believers and unbelievers.
Yep.
So I think that's important to keep in mind.
I know we got to wrap it up, but one more thing, and I was just thinking about the kinds of parents that might be listening to this.
Yeah.
So one, you might be a young parent. You don't have a kid with a smartphone or anything yet. I would just say, be thinking about this and don't take lightly that moment, whenever that is, preferably late, that you give that child a smartphone or give them access to social media. So don't just like passively do it without any kind of intentionality. Be intentional about it. And then I would say the opposite end would be like the late high school parent who did this, handed it to them, sort of not thinking about it, and now it's run away with you. I would say you might not feel that you're in a position where you can just like say no to the whole thing and now it's cold turkey. You might be past that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you don't have time to have conversations around it. So I would say take the time to have those conversations.
Yeah.
But then I would say if you've got a kid who's in middle school and you think, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be letting them do that, I would say that's, in my mind, it's not too late to pull the reins back on that and say, we're going to do some time, and content, filtering here. And we're going to walk with you a little more closely than we did. It might be a little painful at first, but in the same way, Jesus said two things. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your kid's
device
phone is causing them to sin.
Yep.
And then he also said, if we cause a little one to stumble, it'd be better that we have a millstone tied around our neck. So I think it would be better for us to go through the pain of removing that place of stumbling from our kids than just to let it go, because it might cause us a little bit of friction in the relationship. So
I was listening to something recently that was just talking about how they say it takes about 30 days to make or break a habit. And so maybe it's time for that 30-day social media fast. Maybe you don't start there. Maybe you start with just an evening, a week, or certain times like family vacation. We're not going to pull it out. Youth retreats. We really encourage you not to pull it
out.
That's right.
So students will have a good opportunity at Disciple Now in a few weeks to put away those phones.
That's right.
There you go.
Devices, but it's a good thing to at least think about for your family.
Well,
there's a lot more we could be said about social media and technology. We're going to keep talking about this in our podcast over the next few months. And if you ever need to talk face to face, feel free to let us know. We can talk over the phone. We can grab coffee or lunch. We'd love to help you as you parent and shepherd your children through this process. So That's look right. forward to being with you again.
Follow us on Instagram.
Just like, subscribe.
thanks for listening.
Thanks.